fool themselves.
Exactly, and that's just the truth about it. The earlier the people realize that the solution lies in their hands, the better it will be for the Niger Delta people. Thank you so much, sir, for coming this afternoon. Really enjoyed your analysis. I've been speaking with Mr. Nwankwo, convener of Say No Campaign Nigeria. Appreciate you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, babe.
We'll take this quick break and then come right back.
This is a sponsored program.
Personal perspective to everything talk.
Everything talk.
Share your live views on the sunny side of the biggest conversations. Weekday, noon to 3 p.m.
on Nigeria Info 95.1 Abuja.
He was always such a nice boy, a quiet one. Good intentions. He was down for his brother, respectful to his mother, a good boy. A good don't get attention. One kid with a promise, the brightest kid in school. He's not a fool. Reading books about science and smart stuff. It's not enough, no. Cause smart don't make you cool.
He's not in business anymore.
With his father's not in a broken field. He's all over primetime news.
Harry's got the same tight pants as Marilyn Monroe. Put her fingers in the empress and that shiny theater show. She could have been a movie star. Never got the chance to go that far. Her life was so strong. Now we'll never know.
They were crying through the camera, said he never fit in. He wasn't welcome. He showed up to the parties we was hanging in. The guys were putting him down, pulling him round, round. Now I wish I would have talked to him, give him the time of day, and I turned away. If I would have been the winner, maybe told his father, he might have stayed at home playing angry toys on him.
Fingers in the air.
okay. That is okay.
It's okay.
No, it's okay.
Let me explain.
It's okay. It's okay.
She.
Up your mic. All over the
top. On 95.1 Nigeria Info.
Your mic is always on. Let's talk.
It's all you. You tell yourself lies, reasons. I'm too tired. I need to rest. I'm too hungry. I'm too full. Something else is more important. I don't have time. Lies, 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 lies. People ask where discipline comes from. I tell them it comes from within. But there's a deeper level. Discipline comes from the truth, the framework of discipline. And if you lie to yourself, you will not find discipline. The truth is that you know. You know you could do more. You know you could be more. That's what's driving you crazy. All your excuses are lies. The truth will set you free. The truth delivers discipline. But the truth is, you have time. You have the skill. You have the knowledge and the willpower and the discipline to get it done. Don't really want to work out? I work out. Don't really want to hammer on a project? I hammer on a project. Don't really want to get up and get out of bed? I get up and get out of bed. Don't give in to the immediate gratification that is whispering in your ear. Shut that down. Do not listen. Instead, go through the motions. Lift the weights. Sprint the hill. Work on the projects. Get out of bed.
Anybody can do the shit they want to do when they feel like doing. Anybody can show up to work and give 100% when they're in the mood to do so. But what happens on the days that you don't feel like killing? What happens on the days you don't feel like going to the gym? What happens on the days that you don't feel like getting out of bed? Because those are the f***ing days that are going to define where you end up in your life. Nobody wakes up in the morning every day of their life fired up. The reason I'm successful is because I execute whether I have the f***ing fire or whether I don't have the f***ing fire. And that's discipline. That discipline to do the sh** that you don't want to do because you know it needs to be f***ing done.
Do something away from the normality of what you've been doing. Why not try it, man? Shock the system. Get out at 4 in the f***ing morning one day. Just one day. And go for a f***ing run. Commit to one day and see how you feel as you're jogging it back in around 5 or something, as your neighbor is still asleep. But your day's already provided something for you. And that's when you'll feel like, wow, man, that was f***ing a lie. When everybody else says, no, this is not comfortable, we shouldn't do this, you say, yes, most, I'm going to introduce myself to it.
When we talk about regret, I can 1,000% guarantee you that how you feel about your life at the end of your time here is going to come down to your ability to cultivate discipline. It's going to come down to you developing the ability to do the things that you don't feel like doing because you know that it's the right thing to do.
Because we all, or we repeatedly do every day. Therefore, excellence is not an accident, but a habit. It's a ritual. It's in us every single day. The people that are top movie stars over and over and over again, they're not lucky. It's train it, to win it, to earn it, over and over again. Yes, do your best work when you're the least motivated. So those days you don't want to do it, guess what you gotta do? You got a second just to do it.
Thank you.
Let's get into the sunny way of the FCT.
Your Let's Talk station is here to keep you informed.
Sunnyside. 12 to 3 p.m.
Live on 95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's Talk.
This is Sunnyside on 95.1 Nigeria Info.
Thank you for staying here. It's 11 minutes past 1 o'clock. I'm joined this afternoon by Barrister Ahmed Tanimu. It's been a while, Barrister, since you joined us on this side on Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. How are you doing? Hello?
I'm very fine. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm very fine. Good afternoon. Thank you for
having me.
I'm grateful you can join us too. So, I just thought, you know, for us to just talk on air over a whole lot. I mean, we're not whittling it down to just one thing. A lot has been happening within the polity, and I thought that we touch on one or two things just to know what your opinion is on some of these issues that are quite, you know, significant. All right, so first of all, let's start with the health scare. You remember the COVID-19 virus that grounded most countries 2019 when it started, and 2020 saw, in fact, a standstill in terms of time, right? Now, China, I don't know what it is with that particular country, but it seems that almost all the viruses seem to have one connection or the other with China. But now, this is the news now, that over 30 infected people have been discovered as a new virus known as the Langjia virus is discovered again in China. The Langjia virus, I don't know if you've heard about that, but that's the news coming in from China. You remember how after coronavirus, in fact, some people went on social media and were making fun of the whole thing. Yeah, I saw this picture that said that coronavirus is showing monkey pox around, or is it monkey? Yeah, monkey pox and all of that. So that, that does not really pass. And then we have this thing. So the discovery was announced in a letter written by researchers from China, Singapore, Australia, and published in the New England Journal of Medicine. The researchers in their letter said that the Langjia virus is a type of henipavirus, a category of zoonotic viruses which can be transmitted from animals to humans. They said acute Langjia infection was identified in 35 patients in the Shandong and Henan provinces of China, among whom 26 were infected with the Langjia virus. No other pathogens were present. They said the patients were thought to have contracted the virus from animals. So what is it with some of these new viruses, coming from animals, transmitted to humans and all of that, and now we have the Langjia virus? I mean, share your thoughts with me and what you think we need to do at a time like this.
At a time like this, the whole world needs to be careful with China. It's not about the question of stereotyping the country, but we know that China as a country has a lot of things they do very wrong. They conceal basic information, they abuse standards and procedures. Ordinarily, by now, they should have been the superpower of the entire globe, but we all know that they cut corners, they don't follow ethics. There's a lot of most of the things they do is shrouded in secrecy, and because of that, it comes with abuse. Those of them around the country, we know what they are doing. We see the kind of practices. They've forgotten that the era of capitalism versus communism is over. What we have now globally is capitalism, but the fact that you need to give it human face. So now, the system that works in the whole world now should be a system that is open, that is transparent, that is democratic, that has concern for the rights of others as human rights. Mm. But if you look at it, in all that has happened from COVID time, there's a lot of secrecy, there's a lot of abuses, human rights violation. It started with deniers. They deny that COVID exists. And when it has already become rampant, they neglected public health, public safety. There's this vacation that all Chinese globally are expected to come back to their home country. Mm. That was when COVID escalated. So if any kind of diseases or outbreak is brewing in the offing, we know that it's going to spread around, because any country you go, there are Chinese people.
Mm.
And the same abuses that their home country, that they perpetrate in their home country, is the same thing that they will take to other countries. So before you know it, there will be another round of pandemic. And what people have suffered this time around, I doubt if any sane person will want to conform to government directive. Up to now, a lot of countries are yet to recover from the havoc, the disaster that COVID has really put their economy into. So I don't think any country is even ready to withstand such kind of challenge. So we behold on China, we behold on the international community to call on China. China should be more open, should be more transparent, the World Health Organization should not cash out and should not see another pandemic as a means of cashing in and leaving the entire globe in a state of despair. They should take proactive action. Now that the news has started spilling out, they should take steps. They should have a task force that should go into China and they should work with the Chinese government to see that they can prevent it. At least if they cannot, they can contain it in China alone. Should not put the world in a sorry state the way they did. Up till now, they are still in a state of denial. And I think there's an attempt by either, we don't want to call them a secret group, we don't know what their aim is, they just want to control the world population.
But do you think, you remember when the COVID-19 came, and this was some of the mindset of a lot of people around the world, and then at some point in time there was an outcry, the discrimination against China, in fact some things were, you know how it is to be politically right, don't say things about the Asian people, don't discriminate them because of this and that, but then there are also a lot of pointers, like you said, that some of these practices that people don't understand, and at the end of the day it exposes the whole wide world, not just China alone or any country it emanates from. So, I mean, even though in the case of this Langea infection, it is said that there is no proof yet, because I think research is still ongoing, of a human-to-human infection. But then, with this sort of things coming out, of course, people would be only right to be a little trepidation. But like what you're saying, is it good to just keep it politically correct, or they should be called out on some of these practices that need a whole lot of care to guard against pandemics or epidemics blowing out of proportion?
We cannot afford to be politically correct. The right thing to do is to call them out by what they do. What they practice is a known fact. China and most Asian countries, they don't have any regard for the lives of the generality of humanity.
Wouldn't that be generalization?
No, there's no element of generalization in it. We have suffered the consequences on it. So if we want to now do the same line of being politically correct, then we should just, we are opening our gates, our floodgates, our borders open to a new pandemic. China, as always, we have always known them to be secretive in what they do. So we will not have full information of what this new pandemic behold, but we believe that the World Health Organization have a mandate to be proactive in containing
pandemic
in China. Yes, let it stay in China. For God's sake, we know the kind of food they eat. They eat practically anything. If it is bat, if it is monkey, if it is any form of wild animals, they do. And they are fond of carrying out experiments without any regard to a safety standard. We know the culprits, and it will be wrong to be politically correct by not calling them out. It's only right for the entire globe to call them out, and not in a negative way, but in a positive sense, in the sense that they need help. Help should be given to them, unless if this is beyond the what is happening in China. If it's a global conspiracy to reduce world population, then if you look at it, from the advent of COVID till date, the entire globe has been suffering from one form of hardship to the other. It was pandemic, now it is the war on Russia and Ukraine. And if you look at the economy of every country, it's not doing well. A lot of people are passing through difficulty, and this is a recipe for more insecurity and instability globally. So we should not exacerbate the already worsening situation that we have at hand. Things are not going well. A new pandemic will just will cause great instability that we don't know where it will lead to.
All right, so that's on a global level, and how it may most likely, like you rightly said, a whole lot of things are happening, and already we are having a ripple effect here in Nigeria, whether we like it or not, in terms of the economy. You know, the Russian-Ukrainian war, somehow it affects every other person because of the way the world is going right now. Now, let's come back to some local politics. Atiku Antinubu's experience is not what Nigerians need, says Gabam, the SDP national chairman. One would say it's a political statement, or it is opposition, or, you know, just trying to hit up the quality or trying to create an interesting conversation. But Alhaji Shehu Gabam is the national chairman of the Social Democratic Party. And in an exclusive interview, he speaks on a wide range of national issues, including the 2023 general election and the nation's faulty political recruitment process and why Nigerians should ditch Atiku Abubakar and Bola Tinubu for, you know, of course, he would go in favor of his own presidential candidate, which I don't know if he's such a national figure or people know much of Adewale Adebayo, but this is what he has to say. He said they do not need the experiences. Right now it's not a PDP thing, and the SDP should be giving a chance. What do you have to say about that, especially of the, in view of the fact that many Nigerians, or especially now on social media, that we hear the slogan, we do not want the APC or the PDP no more. Do you seem to buy into that idea, or you think it's not yet that time?
It's not at that time. The opposition, that's when you want to look at it from, if you are looking at somebody from the outside, the established norm to take over power, they are not ready. Labour Party seems to be the third force for now, but they've not been able to galvanize the other opposition party for them to have any likelihood of winning the election. So the contest is still between APC and PDP. Labour Party will naturally come third, then all others will now have just a little piece. So the person in the SDP person is just making a statement that you don't need their experience. The question that you ask them is, can they really win an election? How many seats do they have in the National Assembly, in the State Assembly, and the local government level? Winning an election is something that is local, that is practical, that is realistic. If you don't have a structure, if you don't have party agents at all the polling stations, if you don't have mobilizers, if you don't have strategic thinkers, if you have not built people, you don't have a functional offices in all the various local government polling units and states, you cannot be thinking of winning an election. Election is not something, it's not a child's play. The serious business that you need resources, that you need both human and material resources. So all those other political parties that are, it's good for them to clamor, but if they can take the hint and they are really serious about salvaging the country, what they should have done is to galvanize, maybe have a rainbow coalition whereby all other political parties will now want to give APC and PDP a good ride for their money.
But how much of a difference would that make? How much of a difference would that make in the sense that how much of the structure do we see, if we talk about structure in terms of offices in the local governments of almost all the, you know, states in Nigeria, or their presence, how much of the other parties do we even have their presence in the whole of Nigeria apart from these two parties, the APC and PDP, right now as it is? So even if they come together, even if they come together as a coalition, what difference would that make?
They are doing it very late. These are things that they ought to have done.
Let's just take this quick
of the election.
Please let's just take this quick commercial break, and then let's continue the discussion after the commercial. Is that okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, just be on standby.
5.1
Nigeria Info
Abuja.
Welcome back to the Sunny Side with Swat.
This is Sunny Side on 95.1 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back to the Sunny Side. Thank you for being patient and waiting. We're back, and Barrister Abubakar Tinubu is still on the line. Thank you, Abubakar, for waiting. And you were on a point about structures and, you know, collaboration or rainbow synergy. And I'm like, how much would that amount, as much as we don't see so much of other political parties, except some very few, you know, in some parts of the country, so to speak?
Yes, absolutely. So as I was saying, for now, we know that the two major political parties are the APC and the PDP. Labour Party has started something strong, something that can change the fortune of opposition political party. And the case of Labour Party is a little bit different, because before now, they've held very important position. The former governor of Ondo State, Abdulrahman Mimiko, won his seat using the Labour Party ticket, and they have seats here and there, so they can be taken serious. And then what they need to do if they want to actualize winning across board is to galvanize and try to get all other political parties, apart from the two major political parties, into a coalition. It will make impact in the sense that those political parties, they might have structures, even though it's not wide, it's not very broad, they'll be able to now rally round, bringing human and material resources together to meet a well-structured party in power and a stronger opposition than, since a lot of people are clamoring for something new. It happened in France under Macron. We have had a replica of such kind of situation in Nigeria. But the question that comes to mind is, what type of candidate are they putting forward? A lot of all the three candidates, major three candidates, they have baggages. We thought, if you want to do such kind of arrangement, you have somebody clean in the sense that no matter the torchlight you put on him, the baggages that you get will not be something that somebody will have any doubt. The current president came to power as a result of the fact that a lot of people thought what happened in 1983 downwards, there will be a replication of same, and that was the hope. People can now go out of their busy schedule. People that don't have resources were able to look for resources to support the current government, even though at the end all of us are disappointed and we felt betrayed, we felt used. For anybody now to now come with a promise for hope, promise for genuine change, such kind of person should be someone, regardless of his political party, should be someone that have less baggages. Baggages in the sense that things that you have done in the past should not be used against you. Mm. You cannot be seen or said to have taken state resources, invested in family business. Your name is popping up in Panama Papers. Yeah, a lot of things that you claim you have done all turn out to be lies. So it has really dampened that opportunity of saying that there's a movement for a new coalition, a rainbow coalition. So for now, all political parties are going on their strength. So the SDP chairman has the right to canvass for the meager votes that he will eventually get. We know that the contest still will remain between the two political parties. Maybe a lot of people are looking at the possibility of a rerun. Mm. Then the rerun now will now be between the two political parties with the highest number of votes, effectively taking out all other political parties. Mm. So I don't see them standing any chance, but if they want, they can now start preparing against 2027. You start from now.
That's the SDP, or are you talking about the Labour Party?
The SDP. It could be SDP, it could be ADC, it could be Labour Party.
Okay.
If you realize that on their own individually they cannot do it, but they can do it collectively as a rainbow coalition, and they start now by getting membership, by encouraging people to participate actively, not only for contesting position, but to engage. It starts with something that people paying dues to belong to the mega coalition. Then they will know that, yes, they are serious about taking power. But for now, we have to stick to the two major political parties, and maybe we'll choose the lesser evil, hoping that things can turn around if the other smaller political parties get their acts together.
Well, I don't know how many people would agree with you on that, but it's your own position, and I think you have a right to that opinion. But very, very, very quickly, the train... And transportation system, of course, you know how endangered it has been put in because of the insecurity threat upon the nation. Aviation is practically going on 30% flights, you know, which is very, very abysmal and poor. Not many people can even afford that anymore, aside the fact that it's on the skeletal services. Then you look at the train. After that Kaduna train attack, it has become really, really very impossible for that to even go on. In fact, at some point in time, routes were cancelled so that to guard against insecurity based on another attempted attack that took place somewhere in the south, in the south-south part of the country. And then, you know, the roads are nothing to write home about. Everybody travels from time to time, but it's just by the grace of God with a lot of prayers and trepidation in the heart. Then also we learned that there the train victims, 30 are remaining in the hands of the bandits. Three of them have been released this morning, though. So let's talk about that, you know, in terms of the insecurity and transportation generally in Nigeria and how, you know, the economy is adversely affected because of that.
You know, we are in a difficult situation. We are, in fact, what is happening globally has further exposed the maladministration that is going on in the country. Petroleum subsidy has remained a norm because of the money they are paying for subsidy. Now have a situation where other countries are profiting from the hike in the fuel prices, but in Nigeria the reverse is the case. Because although we produce good oil, we are still importing refined products. The whole clamor of Dangote refinery taking off in 2019, we are now in 2021 and nothing is being done.
2022.
And as I said, 2022. As I said some previous years back, it's quite absurd that a whole country as a nation, we are relying on a capitalist Dangote to salvage and kind of provide support to our ailing downstream industry. Thank God that the NNPC has been privatized, so we need to see what their privatization behold. But the reality is that we keep on importing fuel, paying humongous foreign reserve on such kind of importation. Now it's not only about exchanging crude for crude. You have to make payment. As you can see, the foreign reserve is depleted. The exchange rates continue to skyrocket because there are no economic activities. Everything that you know is shutting down gradually. If for those of us that do go around the city center, businesses, the top area business, A-class business centers, as in the top-notch business activity, they are all going down gradually. Nothing seems to be working. So naturally, the economy will continue to go in shambles. FA from 37,000, from 28,000, we are talking of 150,000 to from Abuja, Lagos, and the rest. So activities will naturally slow. A lot of companies are folding up. Gradually, issue of mass sack will commence as well because the economic obligation, they are not making profit. The little resources they have to buy jet fuel is nothing to write home about. The the Kaduna route, Abuja Kaduna route, has been closed down since 26th of March. No trade, no activity is going on. Kidnappers keep having a field day. You know, one strange thing that most people are not talking about is that there are skeletal incidences of kidnapped victims that no really family members that could not have. I see there are a lot of other kidnapping activities that are going on the road. We don't want to say on a daily basis, but on a frequent basis. Some are not being reported because the kidnapped victims don't have access to media and social media. So the roads are still like a death trap all over the parts of life, particularly in the north. And now it's even bearing its ugly heads, even down south. So the government needs to do a whole lot. A whole lot need to be done in our security architecture. We should not wait for people to be kidnapped before the government will now be ordered by the president or the governor. No, it's a core mandate and responsibility of the government to ensure the protection of life and property of all its citizens. What stops the military from going into the forest? What stops the military from the DSS from having intelligence apparatus? People have been paying ransom. The people that were released today, they were not released because of any humanitarian. I believe ransom were paid. Why can't they track the money? Why can't they? There are so much that needed to be done. Why can't they use drone technology? Why can't they send spies? Why can't they? There are so many security measures that can be adopted, but we wonder why are they not doing it?
Mm.
And the more the insecurity continues to exacerbate, it has a direct effect on economic activity. People will be scared of engaging in business. Let's assume you are into the business of distribution. I don't think you want to be going around, especially in the northern states like Zamfara, Katsina, Kano, even Maiduguri and the rest. And these are business channels, these are business routes, these are business opportunities where people ordinarily will be happy to apply and engage in business activity. You go down south, people doing north-south businesses are being attacked.
Definitely.
So the level of insecurity is a reflection of what we are having in terms of the dwindling of the economy, in terms of the naira keep falling. So the Nigerians are in serious pains, and it's only the government that have the capacity to ameliorate, to address these insecurity challenges.
Like we know, the president gave an order to, you know, go ahead and desecrate the bandits, you know. It's not the first time, like I always ask this question, but Operation Show No Mercy has been launched, and I don't know if you're confident on that, or you just think it's one of those other operations launched and may not amount to much.
It's one of those other operations that will be ignored flagrantly and nothing will happen. There are no consequences, no sanction. The Kuje prison, the jailbreak, nothing has happened. Nobody has been fired. Incidences of kidnapping, incidences, the trains, nothing happens. In fact, there is a mechanism of rewarding failure. That's what we has become known. So anytime there's an order, people just laugh it off, including those in the security environment. That is just an ordinary instruction. Ordinarily, do they need to be instructed before they show no mercy? This is what they swore oath to defend and to observe. But now we now have, it's now a form of, some of us will see it as being comical. Anytime there's incidents, you express shock, surprise, mourn, then you give an order in a routine manner, and that order will be disregarded and no sanctions. How many person have you seen that has been sacked? How many person have you seen that has been held accountable? That I'm giving you the Kuje incidents, if you recall, they were given, is it 2 weeks? Now it's more than that, and nothing tangible has come to fruition. I went to court the other time. I was handling a matter. I discovered that about four of the defendants are part of the people that are missing. And if you look at the torchlight, it's only on 64 terror suspects. So what about other people that have perpetrated or that are alleged to have committed other heinous crimes? Who is looking for them? Who is looking out for them? What happened? You ask yourself, things as basic as CCTV camera, they are not in government institution. Some of these things, money has been provided for it. The money the money is vanished and nothing happened. Impunity will continue because there's no accountability. Nobody is supervising anybody. Nobody is punishing anybody for not doing what you are expected to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the order to me, and I believe to many Nigerians, well, they just take it as is one of those orders that will be ignored and there will not be any consequences. If you take a catalog of all the number of times orders have been given, then you just know that, as I said, it's just nobody takes it any seriously anymore. They just laugh over it and will continue to pray, because that's the only thing that the masses can do. Nobody takes the government serious anymore.
Mm. All right. Well, having said all of that, let's just pause and take reactions from people this afternoon. If you can just be a little patient, we'll take that, then I'll let you go in some few minutes. So you can call on 0700-951-0000. Let me take that again, 0700-951-0000. Okay, that's the number to call and react or give your commentaries, please. As you do so, remember we have rules. Yes, respectful. If you differ in your opinions, you can just state your own opinion without necessarily attacking anybody. If you do so, we'll let you go, as we would not entertain anybody trying to attack anyone as a result of their own views. This is just a conversation we've raised so people can bring on board their own thoughts to it. Thank you for always adhering to that. Send your messages on 080-999-30137. Or for the ladies, you can call that WhatsApp number. And for people outside of the country who are trying to get involved in the conversation. Hello?
Adadrom 1.
Good afternoon.
Bakar from Gogoleda.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Barista Tanimu. How are you?
Barista Tanimu, can you hear?
No, I cannot, but I'm trying to get my radio on.
Okay, all right. Go ahead, Malam Abokar.
For those who are conversing, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
We no longer need APC and PDP any longer. There's no any social, a new social order that will come without taking along the old members of old order. We can't in totality condemn PDP or APC. There are brightest minds among PDP and APC. If the APC had been Vice President Oshibanjo with a running mate in person of Governor Zulum, I may likely vote for them. And if you are talking of PDP, this is the party that sought for debt forgiveness for Nigeria in the early formative years of current democracy. This is the party that introduced electoral reform, that even produced the current president. So there are a lot of good things about PDP and APC. We have to look beyond this. There is no social order that will come and totally condemn the old order.
Okay.
There are military rule, some of the ISWAL politicians who later become minister under the then current military government. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Abubakar. Well, you said you don't think we can totally condemn the old order. Let's take another opinion. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Yes, welcome.
I don't know. How is everything?
Very fine. Welcome, Alam Haruna.
Malam, the new has been, but it's the new has everything finished. You have finished all the matter. This is the situation we are in now. Just the remaining parties to go and connive and be able to give APC and PDP some time. Because already we are already test PDP for 2 years. We have test APC for 7 or 8 years ago. And again, the issue of security. Look at the prisoner has been boggled. This is not the first time, it's not the second time. Look at some time. No proper, nobody even here to even how the matter will be end. Just as you said, where mine is only 64 prisoners. The other offenses that are on the way, nobody is going to speak about them. Let the federal government do something. Let them do something. Look, I will be there. I will. When you do this, I will be held. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate. Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am. This is John White.
Okay. Welcome, Mr. John White.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Greetings to your guest as well.
Okay.
You know, Mr. John White. Sometimes when our analyzer comes on stage to like analyze more on structures, that the both political parties have a strong structure. The court forces does not have a strong structure. It marvels me a lot. Who has structures help? Both the APC, the PDP, the structure is talked about does not even, is not a respecter of any religion, tribalism, and all that. I think the masses are more wiser now. So they don't even think towards the direction of structures. For all they believe, there's a strong force coming to take over this country.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. John White. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, mask man calling back from home.
All right.
On this new virus that is coming out of China, I think it is time the whole world. You know, without a curiosity, without experimenting, there won't be new discoveries. But they should be careful when they try to breed
criteria to see, to want to see, see the outcome. Those things can come up with new viruses that could be very dangerous to humanity. And aside that, going to space and coming back, they don't. What are they doing to check their rockets that are coming back? These things can come into our world with foreign materials that can react with our air and our oxygen turn to something else. So they should just be careful. That is my thing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. That's Maxman's own reaction. Hello?
Hello, Swan. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Usman.
Usman, you're calling me on WhatsApp, aren't you?
No, not on WhatsApp. I am calling you on direct line, not WhatsApp call.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. This is my first time calling.
Oh, welcome. Thank you for joining.
I salute the guest in the studio.
Okay, thank you, Usman.
I want us to understand. Talking about structure, who is the structure? Is it building that is the structure or we human beings? We are tired of what is happening. We should change everything that is happening, not the structure. We are not worshiping or voting building. We are voting human beings. And we are the human beings suffering the whole thing. If we would want everybody to come up, who will be the structure? Who will be the representative? Are we not the representative? We are the masses. We should come out and do something and have a change of this the whole thing. Not to rely on structure or any other thing, please.
All right.
My contribution.
Thank you. Appreciate. We have a lady on the line. Hello.
Hello, Swat.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to our guests. This is Mary from Gwagwalada.
All right.
Good afternoon, Mary.
I want to join my earlier caller, so to ask, I said I don't know who the structure is. The structure is human beings. The structures are not buildings. If you say there are no structures anywhere, they don't have offices. If offices are there and there are no human beings, what are the offices good for? It is the human beings that will form the offices. And because Peter Obi came with a new flair, that he's not giving money, because our fear has been this money they're giving, because as much as people are collecting money, the monies will keep rising. And so it means our political space will not be sanitized. But now that somebody came and said, I don't want to give money because I want to work, it brought a lot of relief to us. That is why we are working. We are not wanting, we don't want, even if there is no building, human beings will fund the buildings. The agents. We don't need money. They need a lot of money. People are volunteering. They don't need money. People are ready to do the work. I want to agree with Abubakar from Gwagwalada also that PDP did well. We have tested PDP. They did well. For me, if you compare, generally they didn't do well. But if you compare PDP and APC, in fact, I would call PDP 110, APC 0. So PDP and APC, PDP did well.
All right.
We need somebody else. We've tested two of them. We need another person.
All right.
That is the thought for us we are working for. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Let me read some messages then I'll come back to the phone lines. Good afternoon, Swat. 7 out of the 30 train passengers that have been in captivity have regained their freedom this morning. Thank you, Jibrin Makama. Jibrin is with the NRC, so he's giving us, you know, first-hand information. And like I put it across to you, Tanimu, this is one of the major developments right now, as it is 7 out of the 30 remaining with the bandits have just been released again. We hope all of them eventually regain their freedom. Okay, let me take on this next message that said, okay, this is a forwarded message. We don't read forwarded message. A message today is for Greater Nigeria. Nigeria, where there is a freedom of speech and freedom of movement, a country where our children will have better educational facilities. Nigeria, where our leaders are patriotic, a country where our military is well equipped to protect our dear nation. This is my submission for today. Hyginus, send that in. Okay, Israel, I'm not reading messages like that. Like I said, you put forth your own opinion. On the statement by the SDP national chairman, what he said is the reality that is going on in Nigeria. Many people don't want either PDP or APC, but a new party. I'm surprised that our guest is believing in structures to win election when Peter won governorship election in Anambra under APGAR. What structures were they having on ground that they unseated the PDP? The people are these structures, not the buildings. By the grace of God, I'm going to mobilize. Okay, that's what Mr. Godwin is saying. Jay Show from Asokoro said, settle for a lesser evil care in 2023. Nah, it won't work this time around. Nigerians are voting the best candidate. This time around, we don't need mergers. Why will political parties with different ideologies even merge together? Can oil and water mix well? If APC will be one party that will reckon with come 2023 with all these negative indices being listed, then it will be very clear that Nigerians love suffering. We need to make a big statement with our vote come 2023, says Osas in Jabi. Chinedu from Abuja said, please ask your guests which of the state their fund was investment. What? No, check your message, please, Chinedu. It's not well put together. Good afternoon, Swat, and the guest, an SDP steward riding off PDP and APC is a joke of the week, though both the parties have failed this country, but APC have failed more. God bless Nigerians, says Jameson Nasrawa. Hi, Swat. Let not deceive ourselves. There is nothing like political structure. If 100 million hungry Nigerians are your structure, then how many of them are from the north, and are you in control of their allegiances and votes? Some people should prepare themselves for 2027 and not heat up the polity when the result is announced in 2023. Peace in Nigeria, says Banky. Nobody takes the government serious anymore, says Tokwe. End of discussion. Good afternoon, Swat. Tokwe, thank you very much. Choli said, good afternoon, Lady Swat. As the saying goes, a drop of rain makes up the ocean. Needless to say, it can also cause flood. I will not and I can't be boxed into choosing between lesser evils. I'm a structure of my candidate with my vote. Okay? Then
to the sunny side with Swat.
This is Sunny Side on 95.1 Nigeria Info.
All right, this afternoon we've touched base with some issues, three major issues, that is, looking at the virus, the Lange virus coming in from China. It's a zoonotic kind of disease, which means it's transmitted from animals to humans. Even in the case of this Lange virus, it is said that there is no evidence of human-to-human transmission yet. But, of course, research is still ongoing. So we're asking, why is it that we always have this sort of things coming from that place called China? Is there anything we need to know, and is there anything China needs to do more to ensure we do not have a recurrence of all of that? Okay, so that's the question. We also looked at the question of 2023. SDP National Chairman says, well, they need the SDP more than ever before, and PDP and APC do not stand a chance. Those are some out of the three stories we looked at this afternoon. We also looked at the security situation in the country, especially as it regards with transportation. Now, let me round up the messages and then... Or let me just take some calls before we come back to the messages. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello, your Hotel Majesty. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. My name is Free.
Wow, your sound is so far away.
Oh, okay, but I can hear you clearly.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, did I hear your guest say... Labour Party who can actually come third for the election 2023. Hello?
Go ahead. Yes, that's what he said.
I can tell him for a fact that 2023 election, believe it now or later, the results can actually come first half. It will not end in night.
Hello? Hello? Okay, I think we... Sorry, call us back. Even though you're sounding too distant, I couldn't even pick out your words, though. But let's go on with this caller. Hello.
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 Yes. Good afternoon, Nigeria Info.
Good afternoon.
My name remains Mr. P. A.K.A. Fasulu, calling from Kalu Local Government, Nasarawa State.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
My greetings, your guest.
All right. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Let me just speak on that foundation or whatever. You see, when the solution is faulty, a building can never stand. We have tested APC and PDP. While we discover that the foundation is faulty and the foundation will no longer hold. So we need a new foundation that can hold the nation together, which is this obedience.
You're campaigning, sort of, you know.
No,
so
I'm not campaigning. I want to use my little time obediently and useful. But I don't want to let you know it is the people that are the structure. The structure is not the building. A party name, PDP, APC, or whatever name, doesn't matter.
All right.
What matters?
Sorry, we have to take a quick commercial. Let's just stand by for that.